I would say that for me and Jerry, the last 2 months have been two of the most pressured in our whole lives. It was like Jerry White said last night, there's this chaos that can be inner chaos, but there can be external chaos. And ours was the external kind. Jerry and I have been very close and been able to pray and talk, but I mean the crises, the emergencies, the unknown, the telephone calls that led to hours came upon us. And it's interesting that there in Isaiah he says, who is among you, 50 I think verse 10, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And there will be times when you're totally out of control. You do not have control over your schedule or your circumstances. And I'm reminded of Hudson Taylor when the Boxer Rebellion broke out and many, many of the China Inland Mission missionaries were martyred. And he wrote in his diary something to this effect: I can't read the word. I can't even pray. But I can trust. And of course, the real test, I think, of our commitment and faith is that when all of, we're like in a plane and there's clouds all around and you're not sure if you're going up or down, your feelings tell you you're going one way or the other, but you got to watch your instruments. And God leads us into those. And so Jerry and I have just, last night we had a great time here with you and then drove back down to Norman hoping to get ahead of the hail. And we didn't run into any. Went home and fell in bed. And just before I left the meeting, Dan Williams came up and says, now John Crawford usually gives a little challenge. Would you mind doing that tomorrow morning? And so I said, okay. So I fell in bed and said, Lord, tell me what to say. And I went to sleep. I said goodnight to Jerry. But about 4:30 this morning, I woke up to go to the bathroom. You men will understand. You white-headed men know what I'm talking about. So the Lord popped a thought in mind, which actually was going to be from today's reading in Psalms, where you remember in Psalm 73, the psalmist was baffled because bad guys were doing well and good guys were not doing well, and he just almost was ready to give up. And he said, until I went into the sanctuary. And then I understood. And then these are the words that the Lord brought to me this morning. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So I was laying there thinking about this, and I thought, you know, almost every time that God has ever used me or spoken to me significantly was at a time when I had felt tremendous pressure or failure or sin or shame or something, you know, to where I was down on my face, really. And the psalmist, even after he went in the sanctuary and understood it, he said, so foolish was I and ignorant. You know, a lot of our problems in life come from those two things. We're either ignorant of the situation, but we're still guilty. Ignorance doesn't, if you tell the highway patrolman, but I didn't know the speed limit here, well, he said, well, you'll know next time, see. And not. And so we're going to school. It's pretty expensive. But ignorance, and then just foolishness, just folly. Have you ever just opened your mouth and said something and later thought, oh, man, why did I say that, or why did I say it that way? There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. But God has an amazing way of just reducing us. Just ask Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you love that? He had a year to repent after Daniel said, "Break away, king. May my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity." And he didn't listen to that. How foolish. And God gave him a whole year. And then one day he was saying, "This great Babylon, look." And then he walked around like a cow. Every time they looked for him, he'd gone out the door to eat grass. And then this is the amazing thing. He's out there one day eating grass like he always does. And how in the world? What the mystery of God when he said, "And I raised my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me." And then that testimony that he gave is fantastic. I fully expect to see him in heaven. But you know, he only lived another year after his sanity came back to him. So God puts us in a place where we're low. We know that it's either God or total collapse. And that's what the psalmist said. "So foolish was I and ignorant." And then he says, "Nevertheless..." And here's where the grace and mercy of God comes in. "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." You know, I don't know of anything in the world more thrilling than just to know that God is with me. You know, his name shall be called Wonder, or his name shall be called what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Thank you, John. Which, in being interpreted, is God with us. He says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." He said, "I am with you to the uttermost parts of the earth." And then he says, "And he holds me by my right hand." A Chinese girl came to Norman a few years ago, and she'd just gotten off the plane. Here she was halfway around the world, didn't know anybody. She came to our Sunday lecture, and Jerry met her at the back there, and introduced herself to her, and they were standing because there were no seats left, and they were singing a song, and Jerry just reached over and just took her by the hand. Just for a few seconds, just held it, and then let go. And in less than a minute, this girl leaned over and whispered to Jerry, "Would you hold my hand again?" You know, when somebody holds your hand. "Though he fall, yet shall he not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." So to know that God is with us, that he holds us with his hand. And then he says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden my hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." And you know, this morning as we lead, or this afternoon as we lead workshops, we've got notes of what we plan to say. But most of us in this room know, we've lived long enough to know, that if God doesn't speak, we might as well pack our suitcase and go home. And God needs to say that word behind us. I prepare, but it's interesting over the years how so often things that sometimes move people is something I didn't have the good sense to plan, but somehow the Holy Spirit brought it up and it fit. And you share it and it changes a life. So we need to leave room today for God to guide us with his counsel. And then he says, "And afterward receive us to glory." I don't think we're ever really ready to minister until we look forward to heaven. I got a letter the other day from a friend I've known before Jerry and I were even married. He and his wife were singles. Jerry and I were singles at Glen Eyrie and got married about the same time. And he wrote a letter to me and he said, "I am so hungry for heaven that I can't even express it." You know, David says, "Thou wilt receive me to glory." And then he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. And I really believe that in all of our messages, all of our workshops, all of our programs and all of this, the purpose is to get people in love with Jesus Christ. Not ideas about him, not theories, not schemes, not programs, but Christ himself. And then when we can say, my flesh and my heart fails, he'll keep letting us have those times of weakness. But he's the strength of our heart. And then as I understand it, portion means kind of like your inheritance. You know, someone says where there's a will, there's always relatives. And people are waiting for their inheritance, see, and they were reading this inheritance in a courtroom one day, and this old man had died, and it says, and to my nephew Eustace, who was always asking me if I would remember him in my will, I say, hello, Eustace. You know, I say, what is your portion in life? What is it I really want out of life? Someone asked E. Stanley Jones one time, that said, well, Dr. Jones, isn't there anything you want out of life? And he says, just more of what I got. And to let God be our portion. You know, the Levites were that in the Old Testament. He said, everybody else is going to get a piece of land, but I am your portion. So let's pray today that the people who come to these workshops will have their eyes opened to see the... Isn't that a beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians 4:6? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, I am really convinced these days that for people to grow, and to grow in a healthy way, and to grow for the long haul, they've got to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let's pray that that's what they'll see today, that eyes will be opened, that they'll know the hope of their calling. Let's just take a few minutes here to pray. And John Brock, why don't you lead off, and let's just have a few, give a few short prayers and pray for the hearts of the people and their eyes today.
Lord, your word says so many different ways that the principle that we can get horses ready for battle, but it is the Lord who gives victory.
Amen.
Except the Lord build a house, they ain't going to be. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen like the king. The Lord, as Jim so eloquently shared, that we prepare that God, you lead, and you do it, and all will be good. So, Lord, just prepare our hearts, the hearts of those that attend. Father, truly, your business might be accomplished.
Of what you do in our lives, we're not even aware of. We think it's on a piece of paper in front of us, Lord, but it is your spirit. And Lord, I just thank you for the glimpse that I got of that last night. And Myrna McGee was telling me how she felt so shaken recently because of her health and just feeling uncomfortable. Going back to church had been a long time. And then an older lady walked up to her and said, Myrna, I see Jesus in you.
Amen.
Just so encouraged, our Lord.
Amen.
What we want today, we're not here on our own business, Lord. We're here on your business. Your business is people. And we want to see Jesus today.
Father, I'm an unworthy messenger with your great message of hope and joy and peace. So, Father, may your Spirit speak to the hearts of the people louder than my words do. And may I be faithful to you in all things. And Father, may I rejoice that my name is written in the book of life. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
we know some plant, some water, but it's always you that gives the increase. So today we would just say we would see Jesus.
And Father, we pray for every person that comes. Some are on the way right now, some are already here. But we ask you, Lord, that you will prepare their hearts. Turn up the soil if there's any hardness, any indifference. And let the rain and the sunshine of your love shine into their hearts, to where they're coming and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We pray that they would be eager to learn from you. And Lord, not only in our workshops, but also in Jerry's messages. And pray, Lord, that every one of us could say at the end of this day, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And then, Father, there's the times at coffee breaks and around the table at lunch. We pray even now, guide us to who we sit by at lunch or who we stand by at coffee breaks. And may we be eager to learn from them as well as to share anything from ourselves. Today, may there be the fellowship you intended when you called us into your body. So now we ask you to let the Holy Spirit be in charge of this whole day. And may your word abide in us richly. Hide us in your name. Cleanse us by your blood. And Lord, today we just want you to minister with us as your suit of clothes. In Christ's name, amen.